Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
Body, what's up? We're later today. We're usually a little earlier than this, but we're here. We're going to get started. We're going to talk about some The Other Way. We got episode 8 of The Other Way. And we're going to talk about some forbidden love. So, we're just waiting on my favorite ladies to arrive, Kara and Dee Dee. Hey, Diana, happy dog, welcome. Happy Monday. Kara's here. Let me invite Dee Dee, because Dee Dee doesn't get notifications from me. Did y'all know that Dee Dee doesn't even have notifications on for me? That's rude, right? It's kind of rude. Hey Tina, hey Lisa, Kara's here. Kara's joining. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, Gina's here. Tina's here. Where's Dee Dee at?
Slacking. She said give her 2 minutes, and that was 4 minutes ago.
Yeah. We're gonna transfer the late all the time title to Dee Dee instead of me. After, like, I'm starting to get a little better.
And I Dee's was supposed like, to be late, and here I am. What's up,
Sandra? Right? You're here. Hey.
Hello. How are y'all doing?
We're going to make you the Mariah Carey of the group because you're late all the time. I'm not going to, it's not me anymore. I think it's going to be you.
I had a Monday today. I'm struggling.
It's
bad.
It's been a day, right? Yeah. A lot of stuff was crazy today. But okay, so The Other Way, episode 8. Came on. We were spared Sarper and Shekinah tonight. They weren't on, which was nice, but I don't want to like celebrate bad things, but it did appear that they're breaking up next week. So that would be awesome because, you know, I'm sick of watching them. They're boring. I can't stand them. They make me like, you know, like something gets underneath your skin and it's like, it's making you sick. I feel like every moment that I have to watch them, I'm getting sicker and sicker, right?
Yep. That's how I feel every time I see Angela.
Well, we're getting really close to the end with Angela, too, because next week is part 5 of that tell-all. And, you know, a lot of people are saying this is probably going to be the end of the road for Angela, so, right?
Yeah.
But then I heard
Skyla's coming on. Supposedly, Skyla is going to be on, Single Life.
Yeah, that's the rumor going around. But, guys, I have a friend who's going to be on this season of The Single Life that they're filming. So I'm going to get info ASAP on whether or not that's just a rumor or not. I have a friend that has been casted. They haven't started filming yet. So I'm going to get some info as soon as I can get it to see if that's a rumor or not. Because I don't know. I want to say it's probably a rumor because honestly, let's not get too off subject, but Skyla has been on the show for years and she doesn't even have a storyline. I don't know anything about her. I don't know like where her hopes are, her dreams, if she's dating, if she's engaged, if she has kids.
Can
like she
just have hopes and dreams living with Angela?
Well, there could be hopes and dreams to move out right? Like there could be something going on. But okay, so let's jump into the other way. Let's not get, because we could go on and on with this happily ever after crap, right? But tonight we were watching James and Tata, and she explained to us why she had to kiss her mom's feet. So apparently in her culture, in Indonesian culture, if you feel like you've done something wrong or wronged your parents, it is customary for you to apologize. And then as you're asking for forgiveness, you kiss their feet, which, you know, it seems a little extra, but like when I was thinking about it, hey, Kim, hey, bestie, if I pissed off my mom, like I would probably go out of my way to try to get back on her good side because, you know, I grew up in a very Christian, very strict household. So if you pissed off your mom, you had to make sure that you fixed that pretty quickly. Cause you know, where I grew up, you had to go pick out your own switch, you know, what they would hit you with.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't want your mom to be pissed at you for very long. So I kind of was like, no, I get it. You kiss her feet and ask her to forgive you so you can move on so you don't have to worry about getting beaten the next day, right? Like, that's how I was.
I really liked them in the beginning, but tonight was just too much. It was too much. She's a very manipulative person.
Are you getting vibes from her, from Mary vibes? Like, do you remember Brandon and Mary? I hate to compare her, but like, as I'm watching her and getting to know her and watching her have her little tantrums, she's giving me like pretty strong manipulative Mary vibes.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like...
She's not as bad as Mary, but she is throwing temper tantrums like Mary.
Well, yeah, she has to get her way. And then she apologized to James in front of her parents, but then when they got back to the hotel, she still yelled at him.
Yeah.
Like, she wanted her parents to think that she was being respectful, you know, of her husband and making sure that they weren't upset. But then as soon as her parents weren't there...
She didn't just yell at him. She got flat nasty with him. Like, got mean, gave the look, like, shut up or I'll cut you kind of look. And I can't.
That's not okay. He said it. He was like, when you start cursing at me, you know, that's when I shut down. And that made me think, like, this isn't the first time that, you know, she talked to him that way. And I'm thinking, see, she seems so nice and sweet, you know, and then as we unravel, you know, we start to see her, you know, a little more of her each week. I was like, I don't know, man, she's really kind of giving me Mary vibes. And she's never been, okay, so when they moved to Indonesia, he was really worried about money. And she's never been worried about money. And I thought about it tonight and I was like, well, she lived with her parents. Her parents are doing really well. By Indonesian standards, she left Indonesia to go move with James in Maine, and he was doing really well because he was working with a family business. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of perks with working with the family business. You can take off more time than usual. You can ask for money. You can, there's different things. So money has never been her responsibility. So now I'm kind of understanding why, you know, they had this argument, because James is like, I'm here in a foreign country with people that aren't really my family. You know, by marriage, they're my family, but they have no obligation to take care of me. I'm worried about what I'm going to do for money. And she's just kind of like, you know, whatever, who cares? As long as I'm happy and I get to stay here, that's not really a concern of mine. And I kind of felt like he's the adult in the relationship and he's trying to keep his responsibility as an adult. And she's never been the adult, because remember, when they were in Maine, she's like, I don't like it here. Let's just move to Florida. His job was in Maine. So she definitely doesn't really care about responsibility and who's going to take care of bills, who's going to pay what. That's never been her issue. And I think that's going to be the demise of their relationship, because you can't, I mean, I know you need at least one person to be fully responsible in a relationship, but it helps when both people have some responsibility, right? Like, because James feels like, well, it's all on me. I have to determine how to take care of myself. I have to navigate this relationship with her parents. I have to navigate the relationship with my family because I keep deserting them and abandoning them. Everything is on him. And I feel like at some point he's just going to feel like, is all of this worth it? You know, I'm screwing my relationship with my family over. I'm screwing over my job. I'm screwing over my sense of stability all so she can be happy. Is it all worth it? You know?
And she keeps saying the parents will pay off the car. Okay, well, that's nice and that's great, whatever, let's do that. But do you not need money to live?
Well, right, that was my point too. Like, the car is, like, honestly, let's be real, I would just stop paying.
Why are you even worried about the car? The car's in the United States.
Right, and if they don't pay on it, what are they gonna do? Come to Indonesia and get them? Like, that's not even really a worry. So that debt is so irrelevant. Like, honestly, unless they are actually coming back to the U.S., I wouldn't even care about that.
Yeah.
Like, that is so irrelevant to your well-being and your financial situation right now. But that just shows she just doesn't care. Like, money has never been an issue for her, and it's never going to be an issue for her. Because he's like, I don't want your parents to pay it. And she was just like, eh, you know, okay, cool. You pay it then. Like, as long as she doesn't have to pay it, she doesn't really care who pays it, as long as somebody pays it. And I think that's going to be the issue in that relationship.
Yeah. Once the car's paid off, how far are you going to live on your 18 cents a month? Hopefully she doesn't want, like, new shoes or something.
Well, I don't understand, like, how they move there with no plan whatsoever. Like, I get it. Coming to a foreign country, you probably can't go online and apply for a job and get one before you get there, because you don't even speak the language. You have to find a place that, you know, has somewhere where you could work, where there are other Americans or people who speak it. I get it. There's some things you can't really do until you get there. But I would never in a million years, I wouldn't even move an hour away without a plan. Right?
Like, I have to sound like, when we get there, we're selling banana chips for my family, and that's great. So in his mind, it's, I worked for a family business here. I did very well, and it's probably going to be the same thing. It wasn't until the last minute when he realized that those are going to have to be commission sales. And then it wasn't until he got there that he realized that the freaking bananas are like 12 cents a pack. So even if you sold a million packs, you didn't even make a dollar today.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot to take in.
It's a lot. And I would just get on a plane and go back home. Like, honestly, I feel like he did this to compromise with her, but he's already compromised enough. When he left the family business the first time to move her to Florida because she just didn't like Maine, that was his compromise. And I feel like she's out of compromise favors.
Yeah.
You know, like, when she was like, I want to move back to Indonesia, then I'll be like, so bye. You know, like, I can't, I'm not going to uproot my life for you again. Like, I've done it once. You know, his family's probably going to not talk to him after this. Like, if this relationship doesn't work out, it's some pretty damaged friendships and relationships that he's left behind, because his brother said it. He's like, so you're screwing us over again. He's like, so you're basically telling us 2 days before you get on a plane that you're not going to come back to work. He's like, this is not the first time that you've screwed us over. And it's, you're burning bridges, people that you're going to need in the future. And it's like, he might not have anything to come back to.
Yeah. It's going to be their own damn fault.
So Joanne told her mom that she was married for 2 years. She was in a relationship for three. And her mom reacted pretty much the way that my mom would have reacted, minus smacking me in the face. So her mom was really pissed off, right? Her mom was like, I feel like, as especially as like a Jersey, you know, Staten Island mom, you know, Italian mom, it was very betraying for your child to do something like that behind your back. But she made a really good point, though, because she was like, what do you know about him? And what does it say about him that his family doesn't even know? Like, you're hiding him from us, but he's also hiding you from them. And that's really interesting, because when people get married, because even she was like, oh, well, people elope. She's like, well, even when people elope, they come back and they tell people, right? Like, this is something that you want to share. Like, I could never in a million years expect to get married and my family not be there. I would never hear the end of it. Like, I would literally burn bridges to the point where I would stop being invited to things, because that would be the ultimate betrayal to my family. So her mom was pretty on point with the way that she reacted, because she was just like, the way that our relationship has been, I wouldn't have judged you. She's like, I just wish that you would have been honest. Now she's like, I don't know if I even know who you are. You know, like, for the past 3 years, you're like a different person. You're not my kid. You're just some random person who keeps secrets. And her kids don't know. His family doesn't know. It just sounds really sketchy. Right? Like, it's really weird to me when people do this. Wait, what?
It sounds like a scam.
Well, elaborate on that, because I was going to get to that. What do you think is going on with him? Because we know that he's like an MMA fighter and everything, but what do you think is infatuated?
Well, if he is hiding her from his family or the marriage, then that right there is telling me that's a red flag. He married her to get the green card. And we've already, how many times have we done seen this? Even though it's supposed to be the one of the spouses is moving to another country or whatever, but it always ends up with they only married them to get the green card. Then they moved back to the United States.
Yeah. That, so, okay, that's a good point, because we watched this with Ariel and Binyam, and Sarper and Shekinah are doing it too. They make it seem like they want to be with the person in their country, but then the actual master plan is they're going to get married and then come bring them over on a spousal visa. So do you think that maybe Sean is trying to get over here? And then, because it's weird that he has this strong infatuation with a much older woman who's got like two kids, one's already grown. Like, I'm not saying that she's not beautiful, but it seems like a couple that it's mismatched. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't look like she would be his type. So I was like trying to figure out what put these two together, like what made them want to get married so quickly. And I think Dee Dee, you're onto something, because they got married really, really quick after they met. And you know, when people make split second decisions, there's usually ulterior motives underneath those decisions. People don't usually wake up and say, hey, let's just go get married right now. But people don't typically, also, unless you're really, really drunk, right?
For me, he said, I like MILFs. So my brain goes to everyone on MILF Manor, and then they show her, and she looks like none of them. So,
well, no, yeah, she's a very
is she a freaking millionaire that she can just afford to go there for a month and come back for 2 weeks, and then go there for a month and come back for 2 weeks, and go there for, like, that's gonna get a
help. DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
Expensive. Just ask Shekinah. She, you know, has to travel to see her daughter.
That's a good
unless
point.
She's got a lot of miles on her credit card. What do you call them cards that you get all kind of miles on?
Airline miles. Airline miles. It's like a rewards card. I've gotten free flights though. Like, it's legit. Like, if you keep flying, you do get free flights and free hotels. I've done it.
You'd have to fly a lot to be able to get every single freaking month.
Oh, no, I'm not getting free stuff all the time. It's every now and then.
Yeah.
So do you think it's because she is doing well with her business? Because she's a psychic card reader, and she does it online through Zoom. Do you think it's because she has a decent amount of money and he sees an easy target?
All of these card readers do. Just ask Ashley. She's got $1 million business.
See, I don't know. I don't know how much I believe that. Like, I do have a really close friend, though, who is a psychic, a clairvoyant, and she does really well. Like, we were talking about, I don't want to put her out there, but we were talking about her finances, and she was able to buy a car, very luxury car, with cash. And I was
just
like,
but I'm sure she's legit.
Well, yeah, she's predicted a lot. Like, she's actually solved crimes.
Yeah.
Like, found missing people. Like, yes, she's been used by police departments and stuff like that.
How many of those true crime things or anything legit do you think Ashley and this woman and what's her face have all done?
Well,
not one.
Nothing that I know of. You know what we should do? We should get a reading from Ashley. I just want to see, if she's any good, right? And then maybe like share clips of it. Or something like, I don't know, because it is hard to tell if people are legit or not. Like my one friend who's a psychic, we were doing a Zoom call podcast, and in the middle of filming, she was like, is there somebody in your life? It's a woman, blah, blah, blah. She passed away. Nah, nah, nah. And I was like, yes. And then she even gave me like a year. She's like, she passed away, something unexpected. And I was like, yeah, 2016, brain cancer. And she was like super legit, and like we were not even on the subject of it. We were literally doing a podcast, and she was just like, there's someone communicating with me, I just want to say it. And I was like, whoa, you're legit, you know, like
I would love to do that. And if I think that if Ashley had my screen name, she couldn't even tell me my name.
really see, I mean, I'm gonna reach out to Ashley, and I'm gonna be like, look, we wanna do a reading. you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be live, but I would love to record it just so we could go back and yeah. watch it, right? She can't just, charge that much, right?
If she's legit, I'll apologize.
Me too.
I don't think she's legit.
Me she's too. Not legit. She is not legit, because if she was legit, she'd know all of this stuff was going on. Like this new person, if she was legit, if she was psychic, she would already know what's going to happen.
Exactly my point.
Like my friend, she be telling me stuff all the time. I just don't want to listen because I'm hard-headed. So it bites me in the butt sometimes. But she's legit. I already know what's going to happen before it happens.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, sometimes I just want to go out and do what I want to do. And if it doesn't work out, that's like my lesson. Okay, so I remember I was going on a yacht for a Christmas party, and I was leaving and we got caught in traffic. There was like a parade, and I texted my psychic and I was like, hey, I'm in Orlando. I have to be in Tampa to get on this yacht. Am I going to make it? Because I was stuck in traffic and we weren't moving. So she was like, hold on, let me get your picture. She got a picture and she looked, she's like, I see you in water on a boat. So I drove, and the boat was supposed to leave at 11:30. We arrived at 11:48. And we walked right on the boat, and right when we walked on the boat, they pulled the anchor up, and it drove away. And I was like, whoa, you're so legit. I was like, and then when I asked the girl on the boat, she's like, oh yeah, we were late because the captain had an emergency and he had to run and get something. We were gonna leave on time. But for some reason,
if Ashley was legit, she would know that Manuel's married. She would know, yeah. know all kinds of things. And yeah. She's not legit, but I would love to have a reading. And if she's legit, I'll apologize and eat my shoe.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. But let's set it up. I'll go to her website, see what we got to do. I don't know if she'll do it for free. We can pay, whatever. I just want to see. I just want to ask and just like, look, just tell me everything that you see, and I'll tell you. Well, I won't tell her, but we'll do a live. We'll unpack it on the podcast. That's just to awesome. Just to see how accurate it is, because you're right, she didn't predict rain in Florida in hurricane season. That was not on her radar for her wedding, which you don't even need to live in Florida to know that during hurricane season it rains every day for like 15 hours. So like, yeah. That's like something that we all know, right? So yeah, I definitely want to spend a little time on that. So yeah, let's try to set that up. Okay, so Dempsey and Statler were driving in the van in London. Super cold there, and they couldn't figure out how to use the heat. Statler did seem a little more enthusiastic about the van today. Like, she was in more of a let's try it out and be happy mood. Like, she was kind of in a resting bitch face mood when she got there. She was really like, you know, like when you get to work on a Monday morning, that was Statler. Like, she was just like, I'm here. It is all you're getting out of me. I am here. And she seemed a little better today. So I'm interested in seeing how things go wrong, because, you know, I'm trying to really feel out and predict where things are going to go wrong. I thought maybe living in the van was going to be the issue, but I think it's probably going to be finances that are going to like break the camel's back. It's going to make things fall apart. But I'm just curious, you know, living in that close quarters with anyone is very trying. You know, like living with someone in general is hard. Sharing a bathroom can be hard. Sharing a hotel can be crazy. Living in an apartment where y'all share like a kitchen, that's enough to make you despise another human being. So
we're staying in her little tiny house. There was problems. So
yeah, it's funny because Statler, she makes it seem like she's such an easygoing, fun person. But I feel like Statler is such a, what do you call it? An introvert. Like, I feel like she definitely would be alone all the time, yeah, if she was given that opportunity. So it's really weird that she would choose to spend every waking moment with another person, when I feel like that's so not who she is as a person. Like, she's such an introvert. I feel like she probably enjoys spending time with people like an hour or so a day, and then she likes, right, to go back into her shell, you know. And a lot of people are like that. Some people, oh wait, introvert and OCD. Oh yeah, you're right, she is introvert and OCD, and those are very serious things to mix, right? OCD would be really hard in such a small space too.
She said she's ADHD, so.
Oh, it's ADHD. ADHD. Yeah. So we watched the van scenes, and there was no conflict with them tonight, so I don't want to spend like a whole bunch of time on that. But I want to talk about this Catwoman suit that Corona was wearing to the flea market. So she got, okay, so they're in Iceland. It has ice in the name. She puts on this Catwoman outfit to go to the flea market, and Inky says, "You look stunning." And then she kind of gets mad, and she's like, "I was expecting more." And I'm thinking, stunning means that you stop me in my tracks, and I'm stunned, like a deer in headlights, right? Like, I felt like that was a decent enough compliment. And I don't know, I feel like when people, like, force compliments out of people, that's like a pet peeve of mine. Like, I get it, you want to be reassured that you look great, but also she was dressed like a hooker,
yeah,
going to a flea market in Iceland. There's ice in the name. There's ice literally on the ground when they walk outside. And I'm just like, he probably should have said, "What the hell are you wearing?" But in his, the kindness of his heart, he was like, "Oh, wow, you look stunning. Now I'm going to have to explain to everyone why you're dressed like a hooker." Yeah. You know, but he still gave a compliment. So she, I don't know, she rubbed me the wrong way with that, because I feel like he actually was nice about it. Because I would have said, "Hey, we're going to the flea market. Can you not dress like a hooker? I don't want anyone to offer you $20 as we're looking at stuff." You know, like, I probably, yeah, would have said something like that.
Absolutely.
I know, that's right. And I mean, what she had on was like a fishnet.
It definitely,
I mean, that's how, I mean, that's what kind of, I mean, and then all the twins was almost hanging out. I mean,
I know, you could totally tell her bra size is a 36 long.
Yeah, they were way down. It was a lot for me, because I was just like, if this, and this also, this scenes tonight made me question why they're together too. Because I was just like, I'm trying to understand what Corona and Inky have in common. And, you know, I get the opposites attract. I get that. You know, I get it totally.
We got the spoiler about it, though. We already got the spoiler.
Yeah, we got the spoiler. And I feel like he is, I said this before, he's a easygoing. I get, like, surfer dude vibes from him. Like, smoke a
he's
joint.
He's happy that someone is not related to him, that he can be seen.
Yes. So. Yeah. You know, this is his first real relationship, right? And I feel like,
for it.
Either way, he's going to be happy, even if this relationship lasts a month. It's a month longer than his last relationship, right? So I feel like he's finding the way. I feel like she's expecting so much, but gave him so little, right? Like, because she was like, "Oh, well, I didn't tell him how serious my schooling was. I didn't tell him that I want to be a midwife. I didn't tell him any of the things that he does to irritate me." But then when she got here, she was like, "Don't irritate me." And I'm like, well, he doesn't know what irritates you because you didn't tell him what irritates you. So now you're like setting the standard of what he should and shouldn't do without actually handing. It's almost like giving somebody an exam, but you never actually went over the coursework first. You're like, "Here, take this test and let me see if you pass it." But you haven't actually taken the course, right? So he doesn't even know what she likes and what she doesn't. And she's like, "Just so you know, if you fail this test, I'm going to leave." You know, and he's like, "Okay." He's like, yes, literally. Either way, he's like, "Okay, you know, whatever. I don't really care at this point." And I feel like she's more invested in such a small, minuscule relationship, right? Like, I feel like he's never proposed. He's never went over a future with her. He's never decided, like, he didn't say he wants to get married. He didn't say, you know, what he wants to do. Like, what do we know what he does for a living? Because that's what I was trying to figure out tonight. Because I was like, what do we know about him specifically? And I couldn't come up with anything.
I don't. But
I haven't heard anything. I mean, by watching the episodes, I haven't heard anything.
It's just confusing. It's like, we probably know as little about him as she does, right? Like, I feel like we're all in the same boat. Like, we're all up in a canoe with no paddle. Like, I don't know anything about him, but I think she doesn't either. And I think that's why it's all going to explode in her face, because she didn't do any real research, you know, like, she's, the clothes that she packed to take to Iceland shows the amount of research that she did before she died, right? Like, that's how much research she did.
I'm so,
well, anybody that can eat a shark that is being underground for 4 months has got issues.
Absolutely.
I don't understand that. Because he said they bury it for months, then they dig it back up, and then they eat it. How is that?
They bury it for 2 months, then they dig it up, and then they hang it for another 2 months.
It's fermented.
How do you not die from eating that?
It's fermented. So when stuff ferments, it turns to alcohol.
Oh, I understand. So it's kind of like when they put, like when they pickle stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, okay. I get it now. I get it now. Still bro.
Have you ever had kimchi?
No. No.
It's a fermented cabbage. It smells horrific, but it's really good.
Really?
My dad had a friend from South Korea, and every time he'd visit, he'd bring us his kimchi. And I mean, you can buy it in the grocery stores and stuff here. It's not nothing like the authentic stuff. But as a kid, I thought that was the most horrific thing in the world. Because first of all, it's a vegetable. Second of all, it tasted like apple. But then as I got older, I tried it, and it's really good.
Okay. I mean, so, I'm going to try. I'm going
to
see if.
But it's hard. You have to be able to handle. I'm one of those people. I'm like weird about my milk, but I'm also weird about smells. So if it smells bad, I won't eat it. So I literally have to hold my breath eating it. Because once it's in my mouth and I'm chewing it, it's good. If I don't smell it first.
See, I was like that growing up. Like if someone was cooking pork chops and there's other something else that people would cook and it just smelled really, really bad, I wouldn't eat.
Just like making like egg salad or potato salad.
Yeah.
Or eggs or whatever. The smell, you open the fridge and it smells like a big fat fart. It's, you know, but the salad's so good.
It is. You're right. It is. I actually love egg salad, but yeah. Yeah, I'm going to try it. I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to try it. I like to try new things, but I have the nose plugs.
Yeah.
Like the little things. So I'll use that and I'll try
That's important.
So Corona's going to be trying to meet Inky's parents. And she's a little nervous because I guess she doesn't know anything about them, which is also interesting because she's like, I don't know anything about your mom. I was like, see, these are all things that I would have wanted to get out of the way before I packed up and moved to another country, right? I feel like she doesn't know anything about him or his family, and she's more worried about if they're going to like her because they don't see Black people. And I was like, I don't think it's that big of a deal that you're Black. I think it's more so that you're the first woman he's ever brought around.
That is.
And you're part of- right. Right. Like, I don't think being the Black part, because she's like, well, what if they're not like open to me being Black? And I was like, I don't think it's that. It's more so that they're going to not be open to you being weird or annoying or not a good match. You know, parents, just because.
Or the fact that you're dressed the way you are coming in to meet the parents.
Right. That could be an issue too. And she was like, oh, they touched my hair. So I have this funny story, right? So when I was in the 9th grade, I went to an all white school. I was the only Black person at the school. And my third day, I was sitting in like the foyer part before classes, before the bell. And there's like a couch. So I'm sitting on this couch and there's like four white girls sitting on the couch with me, like around. And they're all like, oh my God. Your hair is so, and they're like touching my hair, and they're like, your skin is so cool. Can I touch it? And the teacher came out, and they were like, girls, can you stop touching him? So I kind of remember like that. It was like in my mind, and I remember that because she was like, they were touching my hair, and I was like, well, it's just because they weren't used to that. You know, they're not used to, because the one girl was like, feels like carpet. It's just, and I'm just like, that's so offensive, but I'm just gonna let it slide because you probably haven't seen a Black person recently. You know, like, that's so offensive, but it's totally fine, right? I'm not gonna get mad.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so that,
my question about this whole season, I know I've said it before, but is this not 90 Day Fiance the other way? Why are there three already married couples?
Well, yeah, because how can you move to a country without being married yet? I know that there's laws. You can visit any country you want, right? But you can't like just move there without being married or being employed. There, right.
Why are we watching a 90 Day Fiance show and they're already married? That takes away so much.
Yeah, it's. I feel like I said, they've been loosening the rules a lot, and they're just basically just accepting people because they think their stories are interesting and then just putting them on whatever show they have room. That's kind of how I feel,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And because, you know, we saw Ed and Liz on Happily Ever After and they weren't married and they were both American. And like, I feel like they're just kind of switching the rules up and it's like whatever they want to do now. You know, I know we're a decade into the franchise, but I still feel like the rules should still apply, right? Like, Oh wait, the spinoff isn't so much about the K-1 visa for the USA. Well, yeah, the other way is not about the K-1 at all, actually, because I don't think the K-1 applies in other countries. That only is a USA visa, right?
Right.
So it's more so about people that went overseas on vacation and fell in love and got married, and now they're packing up their life.
But and we're moving supposed to be watching them get engaged and then get married. That's where it all started.
Right, right, yeah, because that's the whole premise of the 90 Day Fiancé franchise. We're watching the beginning of the relationship. And I guess if you want to be funny, the beginning of the end, right? The calm before the storm, while they still get along. That's where we start the story, and then we watch the chaos as it ensues.
Literally.
But, yeah, I definitely feel like we are watching a different show from when the franchise started and the spinoffs started, where we're on a different level. That's why when I was watching the UK version that just ended, it gave me such good, like, deja vu of what the show used to be.
Right? I did watch it. And
right? Doesn't it made you feel like you were back with the David and Annie and Russ and Paula, and it was real. And I felt like now, compared when I was watching the UK when it was on with Happily Ever After, I was like, it's like I'm not watching the same franchise. Yeah. It's not the same. These are not real people, right? And no offense to any other cast members, but it's just the stories are so produced.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know that you're in relationships or whatever, but I feel like they're giving you storylines and then you're working with those storylines. And I understand that's how television works, but I just miss the premise of one American and one foreign person falling in love and then just a normal person, right? They didn't look like a model. They didn't have an Instagram account with 10,000 or 50,000 followers, just a normal person going through a weird situation. And then we all got in on it. I miss that.
Right. Now, yeah, I love Josh and Lily. I love Josh and Lily. And I think that he had, first of all, I felt sorry for him this episode because the sister said, he asked the question, how did you feel when she came to America? And the sister said, you know, we were worried, but Lily translated it as, we do not approve. So he's sitting there like a deer in the headlights, like, oh shit, I didn't know that. But he had such a good answer when she said, I'm concerned about you being here and not working. He was the only one that has ever said, well, you're right, I can't work, but I can garden, I can clean the house, I can do this and I can do that. I can take off half her load. Nobody else ever says that shit. No, they're always just like, well, I just can't work because I'm here. So that's the law.
Well, look at Jasmine. That's not even on her radar. A job isn't even on her radar. Yeah, when they were talking about that at the tell-all, because they were like, oh yeah, the work papers are important. And Jasmine was like, that's not really the important part. The important part is so I can go see my kids. Like work, getting a job was never on her radar. That was never a thing. So Josh is definitely, and I think that this is taking a very emotional toll on him because he never wanted to go and be in her life and be a burden to anyone. Right. And I think that that's bothering him emotionally, you know, because most men enter a relationship and they want to improve the life of the person that they're going to be with. Not necessarily want to take care of them, but you want to help improve their situation. So like
I also feel like a lot's been taken from him because he says in the beginning, I sold my house and I have a little left. He's never given us a dollar amount, which he should not have to. He doesn't owe that to anybody. But everybody just assumes that because he sold his house and he doesn't work, that he's just a bum on the street. Everybody that I've seen that all over the place. This guy doesn't work, he blah, blah, blah. But we don't know what he's got. Maybe he went there with a couple million dollars in his pocket. We have no idea.
Well, he had a good job in the US and he just stopped working. So yeah, everyone isn't like Ashley who has like negative $500,000, right? Like everyone isn't like her. He could have been saving and had a really good, you know, financial situation before this. Oh, and Josh says that I can also work, but I have to find a company to sponsor a work visa, which is really hard. Okay, so he could apply for a job and find a job, but then that company would have to agree to sponsor that visa. That's probably really difficult to do because it probably would cost the company more money to do that than to just hire a local.
Right.
So the company might be turned off by the idea of, well, we would have to go through a little extra work and money to do that when we could just hire a local person and not have to go through all that. So yeah, that would make it a little more difficult. But I think it's 5 years. He's got to pass the 5-year mark before he could just go out and get a job like a regular local Chinese citizen. And that's a really long time. You know, even if he had $100,000 left over, $100,000 isn't going to get you through 5 years, right? Like that's crazy to even assume. That might get you through two, you know, but it's crazy to even think that he would be able to take care of himself. But I'm worried about him meeting her family, because I just feel like their culture, you know, and I was watching Forbidden Love, and I guess cultures are so strong, you know, especially with religions and countries, they're not going to accept him not being able to work, and they're not going to be understanding that it's not his fault, because I feel like they're going to look at it as, well, the culture says you're supposed to do it, but you have to hold people accountable for the things that they can change.
Right.
And I can't hold someone accountable for something that they literally couldn't change if they wanted to. Like, if he really wanted to, he couldn't change it. So, and I worry about that, because being over there in a country where you're the only American person for miles, and, you know, you feel like the only person and you're sectioned out, you're alone. It's really hard when people are saying nasty, harsh things to you. You know, you don't really have anywhere to go. It's really scary. Like, the idea of it is scary to me, just to be alone in a country by myself and not have support outside of, like, the family. Like, that's crazy.
That's terrifying. That is absolutely terrifying.
I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, right? Like, I know that I'm an independent person, but I love some support every now and then. You know, like, I would love to hear or have a little bit of support, somebody that I could call just in case something goes wrong. I need that, right? Like, I need that in my life. So the idea that he's over there all by himself, he doesn't even speak the language, right? Like, that's just a terrifying situation.
He can't rely on those stupid translator apps, because he could say, which way is west? And it will say, Wicked Witch of the West. And that's what he gets. I mean, you know, it literally, you just can't rely on those.
Yeah. And we noticed this too, though, when it comes to translating, even people, when they're translating their own English to their own language, they translate very differently. Because we were watching that, and we'll see what they say in English, and then when they'll translate it to their family or whatever, it's not the same thing. It's like sometimes harsher.
Yeah, just like tonight, when the sister said, we were worried about you, and it came out as they didn't support it.
Well, right. Not supporting it and not understanding it are two different things, right? Like, and you have, it's all in, the one statement is it's lost in translation. It's all in, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yep.
And I think that when you're losing things in translation, is just a recipe for disaster, right? That's how so many fights start. Oh, so if you guys watched Forbidden Love, there was a new episode yesterday, and we were watching, I think, Linza. She went to her boyfriend's church, well, fiance, and which was a lot, right? Like, going to a church when you're a Muslim is very strange, like to go to a Pentecostal church, because they have so many rules against the Pentecostal. She said they're against rituals, like ritualistic things or anything that could be comparison to the religion of Allah. And Mr. Johnson, who is a retired pastor, he came over to the house where Linza was because she was under the weather, and he offered to anoint her with oil, which is, you know, Didi, for us, this is totally normal behavior. We grew up in the church. This is completely normal. You know, when someone is ill or there's someone in the church with cancer, we do this all, literally every week, somebody was getting anointed. So this was totally normal. But for her, she felt like it was an ambush, you know? And I was thinking that because I was like, well, it was totally normal for me. I grew up in the church. I wouldn't have thought anything differently. But for someone who wasn't a part of it, you know, because after I left that religion, I started to see on the outside how those things look to everyone else, you know? And I was like, oh yeah, it would be strange if you walk up to someone and start rubbing oil on their forehead and speaking in tongues. That would be very strange to other people. And I think that the way that he offered to show her the oil and then went on and started doing it was crazy, right? Like, he didn't ask. Yeah. Like, consent is a real thing, and it doesn't have to do with, just have to do with sex. It has to do with everything, right? And I feel like her consent is very important in that situation, and he just started doing it, and I was like, see, that crosses the line for me, because, you know, if she's a Muslim, there are strict things that she needs to follow, and, you know, she could actually be disowned by her church for practicing ritualistic practices. And he just was like, yeah, this is it. She's like, because he's like, I'm going to show you. Then he pulls it out and just starts doing it. And I was like, see, that's an issue for me. Like, I get
it. Even though I'm very familiar with it, I know what it's all about. If anybody just walked up to me and started putting oil on my face, we're going to throw down.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all about consent, you know, and I understand that when you're a part of a certain religion, you believe it and you believe that. Because, you know, in the church I went to, they believe that God could heal the sick, you know, like they could heal. Because there were people, let me tell you this, there were people in my church that had cancer and they wouldn't go get help because they believed that God was going to heal them of the cancer, right? Yeah. And people passed away. And it's so I get that people believe things and, you know, faith is something you can't see. But I also believe in modern medicine, too. Right. Like, I know that there are things that you have to go to the hospital for, because there's cases sometimes where parents have been arrested because their child needed to seek medical attention. And then it was against the religion. And then the child ended up getting worse or passing away. And then those parents had to be charged with a crime. And it gets reared because it's like their religion, they didn't believe, but it's like the child's life could have been saved if they would have took those steps, but they let the religion part, you know, get in the way. And it's really scary to think that. So the idea of either one of them converting to another religion, I think it's not feasible. And I think that he is really deep, like, he said it. He was like, my family would probably disown me if I converted to Muslim. And then obviously her family and religion would disown her if she converted to Pentecostal. So I think it's probably best for them to call it quits. You know, like, I hate to say that, but it's religion is such a it's such a serious thing for so many people. And they take it to, you know, like how, you know, there's a priority list. Like, if you're a mom, number one in your priority is your kids. You know, then, you know, your job, your family, you know, and I think for some people, religion becomes number one on their priority list, even over their kids or even over their job or over their family. And I think that's where, you know, people can't see eye to eye. You know, like, I believe in God, I believe in religion, but also my traumatic experience in a cult makes me, it's not always going to take precedence over common sense. Right? Like, I have to draw that line. Like, if I need to go to the hospital, I should go to the hospital. Right? Like, you have to use common sense as well as your faith.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's why God made doctors.
Absolutely.
So. Well, right. Like, if we didn't have doctors, you know, then that's one thing. But we are all made in the likeness of a higher power. And if there are doctors, that means that we are made in, they're made in the likeness of God. So they're ordained to do that. They have the talent to do that. And I think that no religion would tell you not to do something to save someone's life, right? But I think a lot of these books were written a long time ago, right? And I feel like they leave a lot to being literal instead of, you know, think back, okay, so this book was written hundreds of years ago. You have to remember, we didn't have modern medicine hundreds and hundreds of years ago or a thousand years ago. So you have to remember there's like a bunch of stuff left out of here that you need to read between the lines, right? And I think a lot of people take it seriously because we were watching what was her name? Hold on, let me grab it. I have my names here. Ashley. So we were watching Ashley. She had a meeting with her husband, Muhammad's brother, Abdul. And we actually found out some info that she got pissed off and broke a PlayStation. And he said, she broke 12 TVs. Now, she denies that she broke 12 TVs. Who owns 12 TVs, Didi? What is going on? Like, how would you have that? You would have to go to Walmart and just start knocking all the TVs out. How would you break 12 TVs?
Yeah,
they go buy a TV. She gets mad. She breaks it. They go buy another one. She breaks it. Like, why are you making this woman so mad she's breaking all the TVs?
Where the hell are you working that you can buy a TV every Friday?
I had so many questions. I had so many questions, and I was just like, and then she said that Muhammad locked her out of the house and wouldn't let her back in, which I thought was pretty crazy. And then she broke a window to get back in the house because, you know, she's a mother. Her daughter was probably in the house. I don't fault her for breaking the window. If you share a home, Who is one to tell the other they can't come into the house, right? Like, it's both of your home. And I was like, it's crazy to me that the brother is saying that she's wrong for breaking the window, but his brother's not wrong for locking his wife out of the house. Like, it's right. wild to me how they're picking and choosing, you know, what's okay and what's not. And that was what was bothering me, because obviously, you know, they have expectations out of her when you're with a Muslim man, especially a Muslim man, because the women are the ones that have all the rules and regulations, right? Like, the men are able to live freely and dress freely and do as they please, as long as they pray, you know, and do their things that they do. But I don't understand how they were all pointing everything on her. They were doing some stuff that was wrong too, right? Yeah. Like, especially locking her out of the house. And because where was she supposed to go? Was she supposed to sleep outside? Like, I was just really confused. I was like, so where was she supposed to go? Because her family is a plane ride away. She moved here to be with you. So you're locking her out of the house. Where did you expect her to go? And her child is in the house with you. I'm surprised she didn't call the cops and have you kicked out of the house.
Yep.
Right? Like, that's exactly what I thought. Because I was like, you should have actually got kicked out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they would have had flat tires on every one of the vehicles, too.
Yep. You think they're breaking the house windows one thing. Wait till you see your truck.
Right. Like, it's just, this situation, it's really interesting for me because she says she wants to take steps to be a part of the religion, but I don't think she does. I think that she realizes that it's going to be too much of a life change, but she's too deep, right? She's married. She has a child, you know, and then their families can't see eye to eye. And I think that they're in too deep. They're either going to have to just accept each other for who they are and move on. But I think as a Muslim man, you know, we've been watching 90 Day Fiancé for a long time. Muslim men don't accept you for who you are when it comes to their religion. If you become their wife, you must conform to the rules of the religion. It's just, they don't really, oh, thanks for stopping by, Josh. Yeah, they don't really compromise.
Bye, Josh.
And
Good night.
One thing that I noticed about the response is it's really aggressive when you don't agree with something of their religion. They kind of get really aggressive with you. And they're like, because Muhammad said something a couple episodes ago where he was like, she's a disrespectful woman and I need to teach her a lesson. And I was like, well, that sounded like a threat.
Yep.
You know, like, I don't really like the idea that you feel like because she doesn't agree with you or want to do something that you want to do, she needs to be taught a lesson. She's not a child. Right? She's not an animal. Because, you know, with an animal, you pees on the floor, you have to teach the animal the lesson. Hey, you can't pee on the floor. She's a person. Right? Like, she's a human being. This is not how you reason with a human being. You have a conversation. You don't take her, because he's like, I'm going to take her to the side and talk to her. And if she gets crazy with me, I'm just going to have to tell her off and scream at her. And I'm like, see, that draws the line for me. You know, like, because she doesn't have to agree or conform to your religion. Yeah, y'all jumped the gun and got married and had a kid before you had the real conversations, but she's not obligated to conform to your religion because it's an obligation for you, right? You should have thought about that before you put a baby in her, right? Like, we're way past that, right? Like, it's too late now.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what's so aggravating, because it's like men and the women, they are going into getting a spouse in another culture, and they never do their homework on that culture, and then they both want each other to become whatever religion they are instead of having a happy medium.
Yeah.
Why do men or women think that their spouse has to be whatever their religion is for it to work?
And it's crazy how often that happens.
Yeah. I mean, well, when I was in that cult, it was very rare that anybody was with somebody that wasn't a part of our religion. So it's interesting to me that so many people of these different religions are dating just outside of the religion, because when I was in that cult, that was pretty much unheard of. So we never really had any issues with people not wanting to conform, because if you were dating, well, first of all, we didn't date in that religion. You just would get married. But if you married someone, they were always a part of it, you know, so you didn't go shopping around for a husband or wife just anywhere. You know, you could go to other churches that were a part of it and meet people, but you didn't just go to like the mall like they're doing now, just pick up someone and then just say, hey, I like you, let's date. And then by the way, you need to get baptized or you need to convert. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy to me. And it's, yeah, it's really, it's so much extra work. I think I said this last week. I was like, that's so much extra work to put on top of trying to make a relationship work is trying to change a person, right? Like, yeah, I feel like making the relationship work.
Respect each other and respect each other's religion. That's all that matters.
Oh, so I want to talk about Lindsay and Elmer real quick, because they tried to sneak attack his parents back in Michigan on the Amish, what do you call it? Like an Amish compound? Well, they drove into town and they made the mistake of going into the general store. So, you know, the Amish, it's a small community and everyone talks. So they got ratted. They got snitched on. So people saw them, and then they went to warn the parents that he was coming. So apparently, if Elmer even goes on his parents' property, they can be shunned by their religion, which is Amish, which is not just their religion, it's their whole lifestyle. They can be shunned even for having communication with him because he left the Amish. So now they're like going to their house unannounced, which I think is so crazy. Yep. Why would you go and risk what they want to do? Because, yeah, you don't want to be Muslim anymore. Or, I'm sorry, you don't want to be Amish anymore. But why would you go onto their property and risk getting them shunned from what they still want to do?
Yeah.
Right? Like, they should be the ones who accept your invitation. You shouldn't just go there knowing that it's not acceptable to do that. And I kind of blame Lindsay for that, because I feel like she's the one that's pushing it. Because the whole time that they were in Ohio, in Michigan, getting ready to go, he looked so scared. Like, you could tell that this was not something that he wanted to do, and he knew that this was not going to end well.
Yeah, I'm totally shocked by this. She is forcing this on him so much. I get that he is, that he made the choice to leave, that he made all the choices that he made. And I get that he misses his parents. I also understand, you know, feeling like both sides of the family should be a part of the baby's life and blah, blah, blah. Right. But if my husband's family doesn't want to be a part of it, that's up to them. That's up to them, plain and simple. Yeah. I'm not making anyone be a part of my child's life. If you don't want that joy, then get out.
It's a privilege. Exactly. Absolutely. It's a privilege. If you don't accept the privilege of being there, then you're making that decision on your own, and it's your loss. Right. But I didn't like how they were going there knowing that they weren't welcome. Right. Like, I was taught never go anywhere that you're not welcome. If people don't want to. Right.
Eat in the middle of the night.
I don't know. It just seemed so disrespectful.
Walking in the snow.
Right? A mile in the snow, too. Like, it was just a lot, because I was like, y'all are
sneak attacking. With the whole freaking camera crew.
And first of all, camera crew, they said at the friend's house, they don't want a camera crew on their property, and then they're going to do it anyway. It was just so disrespectful to me, right? And I was like, if you ever want them to accept you, this is not the right way to go. I would have started with writing them some letters and just opening the communication through mail, right? Like, I think showing up at their house is only going to make this worse, right?
But also, back to going, being a part of the child's life, I understand wanting that, but do you really want your child to be influenced by this type of people where they have sex with animals? And, like, I mean, there's a lot of things that they, if they accepted it, there's a lot of things that they could try to teach your kid that you don't necessarily want your kid to learn, ever.
You're right. That's true.
My kids have gone their whole life without ever thinking about having sex with an animal.
Right? So, yeah, you're right. That is a lot to subject a person to, a child to, because you're right. If they want to be a part of the child's life, they might want the kid to come stay with them for a week. Yeah. And then now they're being subjected to a type of lifestyle that, you know, you wouldn't want your child to be left unsupervised in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she knew he was Amish when they got married. And he said it, too. He was like, you knew I was Amish when we got married. I don't know why you think that you can change an entire, you know, community and religion just based on how you feel. You know, this has been going on for hundreds of years, even though you don't like it. You know, this is how they live. This is how they live. And they're not going to change because you don't like the way it makes you feel. You know, like, it's not about you. You're not even Amish, you know?
Absolutely.
All right, so we're gonna wrap. We got like 1 minute left. Oh wow, that's fast. We're gonna wrap. So we're gonna come back on Sunday for part 5 of 5 of the Happily Ever After Tell All. And so I heard through the grapevine that Angela took a swing at Kobe. So I didn't see it in the preview, but I heard from somebody who was present in the room when that argument took place. So I'm thinking that's when we're going to see that full scene is next week. So we're going to have a lot to talk about because that's crazy in itself. So we're going to come back and talk about that next week as well as episode 9 of The Other Way. And then I think the week after we're starting Before the 90 Days. So we're jumping right in. Yep. So make sure you're following my co-host Kara and Didi. They're tagged in this video. And make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Massey Show. Thank you for joining us. Everybody have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.